Hello and welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. In this week's episode, I was joined by Brenda Wollenberg from Vancouver in British Columbia in Canada. And she was talking about our diets and how one size doesn't fit all. And it really became a conversation about all the things that are probably quite destructive for us to put in our body, and yet we still do, and that we believe what works for one person will work for another, and that we're all really quite individual, and how you start to marry all that together. And I was able to share some real insights and thoughts that I've had in recent times about diet and the sense of a diet to lose weight, but also that compassion and everything that you have to have for yourself too. A great conversation that I hope you enjoy. Brenda, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Tell us a bit about you.
So I am many things. I am a mother of 5 adult children. I have a growing gaggle of grands, another one to be born in about a month here. I'm a social worker trained and experienced, co-led a faith community for 20 years, and then most recently been a holistic nutritionist. And so I kind of put those all together, and now I actually specialize in analyzing and interpreting genetic data. So from, for example, someone's 23andMe information, and help design personalized wellness programs that kind of cover the whole body, mind, spirit realm. So I got to pull everything in and finally consolidate it in this, I think, last career of my life.
Yeah, fascinating. And where are you in the world, Brenda?
Just outside Vancouver, BC, in beautiful Canada. Love it here.
Ah, lovely, lovely. I always feel as if Scotland and Canada seem to have a lot in common. A lot of Scottish people go to Canada.
Absolutely, I know. And well, my family is not from Scotland, it's from Ireland, but we definitely have that passing back and forth for sure. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. Lovely. Thank you so much, Brenda. And thank you for getting in touch to come on the podcast. So
sure,
I know that you love the question and that you've been thinking about it. So tell me, Brenda, what do you know for sure?
Well, one thing I know for sure is that one size diets simply are a disaster. One size fits all does not work in the nutrition realm. So there you go. I've had various epiphanies of that over the years, but I am solid in that for sure.
Yeah, I can probably really agree. I'm nodding away here, Brenda. Yeah, I've spent a lot of my life on the diet train. Not so much anymore, because I had an experience where I nearly died and I survived, and I thought, I'm never hating on my body ever again. But I know, but I just think, like, going to diet clubs, for example, and you see you're doing everything you're meant to do, other people are either they're losing no weight or they're losing hundreds of weight, and like our bodies are different and our makeup is different and the reasons we carry weight is different. So often that is either biological or sociological. It's about our trauma, it's about, you know, our lives.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did you come to know this for sure, Brenda?
Well, I was thinking about that, and I thought I had three revelations. So the first one was in my mid-20s, where I was living on a kind of standard North American diet. I was in the middle of social work practice, loved my job, fueling on sugar and really bad government coffee. Like, that was my main two food groups. And I just had this epiphany that, you know, I have an ulcer already. I've got thyroid problems. I'm so tired. I fall asleep on the couch when I get home from work. And I had a friend say to me, and frankly, I think he used to be smarter. And I'm like, thanks, you know. So that was my first epiphany. Like, this particular diet maybe works for some people, but this is not working for me. Mm-hmm. And then I met with an herbalist and changed everything up and got super healthy. But what people tend to do, I find, is then they get blinders on. And they go, oh, this really helped me. This must be what everybody needs to do. So I started working more in the field of health and teaching everyone that, went back to school to become a nutritionist. And my second epiphany was when we were vegetarian and we have 5 kids and they were vegetarian. And my husband, who is German, you know, ex-football player, ate meat like 20 times a day growing up. how I ever thought he would make a good vegetarian, I don't know. But I learned this next epiphany was about something called metabolic typing or body typing, and how we really need different fuel mixes based on our bodies. You know, everyone's body is not wired the same. I was looking back kind of family history and family of origin, that kind of thing. And then my last epiphany was about 5 years ago. It's been 20 years now that the human genome has been mapped, most of it mapped. And 20 years ago, I got dragged into a training by a PhD biologist friend of mine, who's also a nutritionist, said, we have to go to this. We need to start learning about epigenetics because it really impacts the particular diet and exercise and whatever. And I sat in that first course. First off, I was like, why was my university biology so long ago? But my second thought was, oh, yes, nourishing your body per your DNA is the ultimate kind of non-one-size-fits-all diet. So I kind of had it in stages like that. It wasn't all at once, you know?
Yeah. And I suppose, what does that, like, what can the person who's sitting listening to this think? And well, I get that my diet's not right. How do you start to work out what is right? I mean, I think, like, I know I can listen to my body because I'm not very good with dairy product, right? So I know whether or not I could have dairy products. So just now I would check in with myself and I'd be like, no, today is not a day for dairy. I'm not going to have dairy, right? That's not going to go well for me today. But sometimes I would be like, oh, no, I think I'll feel okay. And so I can check in with myself and think, right, what does my body actually want just now? But most of the time, I'll be honest, either my body or my head is telling me it wants a cake, and that's what I give it most of the time, right? But how can we start to empower ourselves in this area? It's just your normal person going about their life thinking, I know it's not right because my skin's not right, my body's not right, I don't sleep well, all the rest of it.
Yeah, those are all the symptoms that are generally telling us, hello, I don't really like what you're feeding me, you know? Yeah. And so that's one of the things that I do is really have people learn to both listen, but then to trust like their body. So, and if you understand your body type or your genetics, for example, you have more data that you can use. Because speaking of dairy, for example, there is a particular gene that has to do with whether we actually continued to produce the enzyme that breaks down lactose. And did we actually get that enzyme from our parents or not? In your case, it sounds like you might have got it from one parent, but you didn't get it from the other parent. So you can probably tolerate dairy maybe about 3 days a week, provided you don't have them consecutively.
Yeah.
So you have enough enzymes to break it down. You know, mm-hmm. Now there's other things, other reasons why people can't do dairy, like the protein and that. But if it's just related to sugar, that's a very good thing to know and a very good way to listen. But it expands even beyond that to, you know, there are different genes, metabolic genes, that have to do with even how much protein we should be eating, with how many times a day we should be having a starchy or carbohydrate. And then a really important one, not that those aren't important, but, you know, how much saturated fat should I have? Because we get people that are on a low-fat diet and, you know, their hair is not good and their nails are not good. And frankly, the lining around their cells is probably not good, you know, and they're thinking they're supposed to be not eating it. Or conversely, you'll have someone that said, oh, my buddy did keto. I think I'm going to do keto. And they're downing tons of dairy and coconut oil and skin on chicken and bacon. And they might be someone like me who really needs saturated fat, but in a very limited amount. And so when you actually start having those guidelines, two things happen. I find one is that people are filled with a lot of hope because most people have wandered that diet, you know, desert, like you said, and you've tried all these things. I've been on the treadmill and it's just a merry-go-round of, yeah, maybe you lose some weight or maybe you feel better for like a week. And then it just all goes to heck again because you don't really know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. But when you actually have this blueprint of, oh, I have this gene and I have it in this variation, that means this. I find people are much more compliant with, yeah, you know, honoring their bodies and, like you said, loving your body. And then being able to walk that out in a more consistent manner, which means then they get the results and they have more energy and mental clarity and more balanced mood, which then fosters better compliance again. Yeah. So it's not a diet. you actually just found the optimal fuel mix for your body, you know?
Yeah, because I just, towards the end of 2023 there, I was doing some work around my beliefs. And I realised I had the belief that being slim was a weakness. And I thought, why do I have that belief? And so my mum passed away sadly when I was a child, and she had leukemia, and she lost so much weight and then got an infection, and sadly she passed away. And she was far too young to die. I was far too young to be without her. And I think I remember willing her to eat, like standing at her room door, willing her to eat, hoping that she would eat, because she just stopped eating. And even at that age, even at age 12 and 13, I knew if you don't eat, you can't get better. You know that way?
Yeah.
And then 7 years ago, I had a brain injury and I lost a lot of weight. And so then, even though I was probably in a healthier weight range than I should, you know, I was probably in a good weight because I was overweight. So I was probably in a good weight range. Everybody who looked at me had this concern for me. Oh my goodness, look at her. She's lost so much weight. She looked, and I couldn't talk and I was very confused and everything. So everybody had all this concern and everybody just fed me all the time. And my best friends feed me. You know, that is like my favourite thing for people to do. Bring me in a cake and you're my pal for life, you know. And so then I've got this deep-seated belief about what weight is. And I know I've got the belief, but I still don't know how to shift it.
That's the super fun and fascinating part of being able to put social work together with, you know, pastoral stuff, with, you know, nutrition stuff, because nothing, we're not isolated, body, mind, spirit. Like the emotional connection that we have with food, or, like you said, some of the deep-seated beliefs that we have, I encourage my clients or my group participants to do this infamous OCC formula. So the first is observation. Just, that's interesting. I have this longstanding belief about weight. Then curiosity. Like, I wonder where that came from.
Yeah.
And start pulling that up. And then the second C is compassion, because we do things that make sense to us, that we're either a protective mechanism that somehow kept us, you know, sane in a very challenging, chaotic world, whatever it happens to be. And so we always want to be kind when we're doing the exploring and figuring out what's going on. But then we can start having dialogues around, I'm not so sure this serves me so well anymore. You know, this is, I've learned new information, or I learned some more things about my body, and maybe I want to shift. Now that I've seen this, maybe I want to shift in my patterns to better support, you know, who I am and myself. So it's a real cool journey, but it does take time and effort. And clearly you're on that journey, you know.
Yeah. And so what advice, I suppose, would you give to people on that journey? Me included. And I think we can all recognise, like, especially if you grew up, so I'm west of Scotland, so a lot of poverty in my life and my cousins and the people I knew's lives in the area I grew up in. And therefore, that having a full fridge is the happiest that a lot of people I know can be. They get such a sense of satisfaction from knowing there is food in the house, because we knew what it was like not to have food in the house. And being able to feed in people that you love and eating and making sure that you have enough, because we've got all that inherited lack, I suppose. How do you suggest that people with that start to work through the fact, well, this doesn't belong to me? Like, you know, this fear, and I can have complete compassion for the wee girl who was worried about her mum not eating, and complete compassion for myself and all my friends and family as they looked at me and thought I looked poorly, even though I was probably for the first time in many, many years in the right weight range, and thought that I looked poorly, and compassion for that woman that I was sitting thinking they need me to eat, so I need to make them happy because they're all so scared and they're all so worried. Right, so I have all that. How do we get through that?
There's a few things, and it'll be different for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes when we actually, you know, do either like a metabolic typing survey, like I do with clients, or do the genetic, we start feeling better when we're on the right fuel mix, and that enables more clear thinking.
Yeah.
That enables more energy to pursue change. So sometimes it's a physical start where we actually have the energy to pursue things. But some of my clients, I suggest they start with more of the mental, emotional. And so we will do either some journaling work. Maybe they will, I will recommend that they see a therapist or counselor. I'm not sure if this is available in Scotland or not, but there are some things to do now with rapid eye movement, EMDR, for example, which are really helpful tools for internal family systems. There's some really cool modalities now that have people be able to figure out, you know, is this someone coming in to rescue me? Is this a part of myself that is afraid that I'm going to be hurt again? And just even processing that through a number of sessions or doing the rapid eye movement can really remove some of the, safely remove some of the protective mechanisms that have been there. So sometimes you start, you know, emotionally, sometimes you start physically with the right kinds of food and exercise, get sleep patterns improved, because if you're not sleeping well, it's hard to make changes, you know. Or sometimes it's a spiritual thing where someone needs to or wants to tap into whatever their sense of a higher power is, or their sense of shared humanity, and they want to collectively draw on that. So we would ascertain what makes the most sense to you. Where do you feel it resonates? That would be a good starting place. You're going to need to eventually tackle all three of them. Mm. But if you can start with one and get a little success, that can often move you forward to where you feel ready to tackle something else. I tell my clients, you didn't get here in a week or a month or even a year, so let's be patient. Yeah. Let's give ourselves grace and time to unravel this and see. I have them do what are called seed habits, small, simple, sane, sustainable, to fill one step at a time things to gradually move them to where they want to go. So we'll take it slow and, you know, see the progress and rejoice at every single little, you know, success and win along the way.
Uh-huh. Oh, amazing. And this, you've already said, is probably your last career. Are you excited about that?
Yes. Yes. Very excited. I really enjoy the way things are going, the combination of things. So, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Brenda, thank you so much for getting in touch and for coming on the podcast and for sharing your wisdom.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I love the conversation.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.